Yeah, Mark Medina with the Bay Area News Group, Warriors beat writer with my pal and colleague Logan Murdoch. We got another episode of the Warriors HQ podcast. In this podcast, apparently Logan is going to spit some fire here. You got some takes?
Man, I have some real lukewarm takes. We're talking about the center position today, so I got some takes to give to the people, man.
All right, well, give them. What do you got?
I just think that, you know, the Warriors definitely, I don't know right now if the savior is going to be DeMarcus Cousins is right now. I think that's the narrative that's going on around right now, and I think that that's something. I think DeMarcus will be a solid player, but I think just to put all your eggs in one basket that he's going to be the guy at center right now as far on a defensive scale, I think that's a little too premature.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good point because at the end of the day, the Warriors still don't have clarity on when DeMarcus Cousins is going to be coming back. He's been scrimmaging the last week. I think by my count, it's been five scrimmages with the guys doing 5-on-5. He's, you know, doing another scrimmage, you know, before the Warriors Rockets game with some assistant coaches and Jacob Evans, maybe some other young guys.
Yeah, we got a cameo from Clay's brother, Michael Thompson. He was also playing in the scrimmage too.
Think they can get actually Clay in there?
I don't think we get Clay in that one, but we did get A. Thompson in there as a Splash affiliate.
But here's the thing. I mean, he's getting up and down. He's scrimmaging. Jordan Bell may or may not have been cooking him the other day. But, I mean, the end of the day, Steve Kerr keeps talking about his conditioning needs to keep getting up to speed. And, you know, Rick Celebrini, who's been in charge of their training staff, the doctor Rick Celebrini, he's been really pumping the brakes on, you know, anyone who's been injured, but particularly DeMarcus because of his Achilles injury and how serious it is. But, you know, you look at the calendar here, there's no timetable as of now, sooner rather than later, but, you know, he's approaching on a year. January 26th is when he injured it when he was with the Pelicans, but what's your gut telling you? We're not reporting news, so don't aggregate this, but when do you think he'll actually come back?
Maybe mid to late January, early February-ish, yeah. I think. Oh, man, I think around that time. And I think, like, they don't need to rush him. Honestly, from the little what you see, like today, he looked nice. We were there when he dunked all over Kevin Durant. We were at that practice. But I mean, he's shown flashes. We haven't seen obviously everything, but I think that, you know, do mid to late January, early February is a good guess.
Yeah, I mean, he's got his confidence with throwing down that dunk. He's got his power, but I mean, as much as that dunk made a lot of highlight reels, what struck me with when he was going one on one with Kevin, I mean, he wasn't going very fast, and you could tell that he's kind of favoring a little bit to try to be cautious. So it illustrates that there's a lot of work for him to do.
Yeah, definitely. And you've seen this with covering Kobe. I think that you know, the Achilles is definitely a delicate thing to, especially when you're a big man of his size and caliber. It's something that you don't really want to rush back from, especially like, you know, your first year with Kobe. He hurt his knee as soon as that happened. Probably wasn't, you know, correlated, but it's something that you have to, you know, manage. He has the luxury of being on a great team where he doesn't necessarily have to rush and get back. So I think he's weighing that, and, you know, we'll see what happens with that.
I mean, the thing that's just precarious, as you alluded to, is where do the Warriors go from here with their center spot? Because not only have they had to be without DeMarcus Cousins, but quickly their mindset on DeMarcus was it's not so much as a luxury as it now is a necessity once Damian Jones had a season-ending injury with his left pectoral muscle. And, I mean, he didn't have the most perfect season by any means, but for the most part, he was their starting center. He did at least give them size and some kind of vertical threat. But now the different plans have been mostly starting Kevon Looney, maybe throwing Jordan Bell a bone here or there with minutes, and then putting together some patchwork minutes for Draymond Green and Jonas Cherepko when they're already doing so many things. But I just don't know what the best case scenario out of all those things are of increasing Kevon Looney's role, or giving some more opportunity to Jordan Bell, or putting even more of a burden on Draymond or Jonas.
You know what? There's another take. I think that you know, the Warriors are missing. They're missing Zaza and missing, you know, to a certain extent, JaVale in the sense of what they brought. You know, they weren't necessarily the best centers. Obviously, we saw that, but they knew their roles, and they were over 7 feet tall. They were bodies that could at least maybe not be great defenders, but they could definitely make a difference in a way that we haven't kind of seen from this front court. As great as Kevon Looney is, we know our guy Dieter loves Kevon Looney. He's the biggest fan.
He might be mad with you right now.
Yeah. But Kevon's never going to be 7 feet tall. I mean, it's not going to happen. So I think that they're missing that piece that can be 7 feet. They can just be a body there, block shots. It doesn't necessarily have to be a great defender, but they need someone of that caliber. And they just haven't had that, because when you have a guy like a Zaza or a JaVale, those other Jordan Bell doesn't have to guard a big. He doesn't have to guard a 7-footer all the time. He can switch out and go and guard a Harden and guard those smaller, faster players, and he's not taxed. Draymond's not taxed. They are missing a big guy that can go into that role.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the thing that's fascinating when you're comparing and contrasting with Damian is Kevon Looney has been trying to space the floor a little bit by expanding his game. You know, he shot a three the other day.
He didn't shoot it. He made a three.
He shot a three and made it, yeah.
Yeah. Give him some respect. But yeah, no, if Kevon can do that, that'll be great. You know, that'll be great for him and great for the team. Also, just to have a guy, just another guy that can just ease the burden of those all-stars.
Right, without a doubt. But, I mean, to my point was, that's not really much of his game. They're encouraging him to take those shots when they're open, but they're not saying, hey, we need you to become a mid-range specialist or even a three-point specialist. So, as a result of his limited offensive game, you don't have as much of that floor spacing. Defensively, he's always solid, but he is undersized. So, he's trying to use his athleticism to make up for the fact that he doesn't have the same kind of physical dimensions. Sometimes there's success, oftentimes there's not. But I think the thing with Damian is you had those things, but his time was a little bit uneven for reasons beyond he's a young guy and he can get into foul trouble. Without Steph Curry being in the lineup for 11 games, not only did the Warriors miss him for the obvious reasons why Steph Curry is such a great player, but that whole idea of being a lob threat wasn't as prevalent because you don't have Steph to just space the floor with all his gravity. So a lot of interesting set of circumstances there. Jordan Bell, maybe he gets some more time after this good performance against Phoenix. It is Phoenix, but I think, just in a nutshell, what he showed with the energy and just being active is what Steve Kerr has hoped for all along. I think Draymond and Jonas are capable of doing that. I just think that, A, they're not true centers, so you're not really solving the height differential problem. But, B, those are guys that you're already asking to do a lot. Draymond's an all-star. You're asking him to cover a lot of ground defensively as a unit. They're hoping to get his shot going. But, I think there's also a concern of he's been missing 13 games with, some issues with his right toe, and he had his left knee that kept him out for three games in preseason. Like, they don't want to overextend him, so then he gets hurt again. And then Jonas, I mean, he's been doing a little bit of everything, but you just wonder to what extent can, as much as dependable as Jonas has been, there's only so much you can ask of with a role player.
I think at a certain point, they need role players, and Jonas has been this, they just need their role players to get them to a point, just to where they're not coasting, but they need them to get to a point where they're just serviceable to get through the regular season. Right. When it comes to the postseason, you'll have your stars play really well and you can lean on your stars more, but they just need to get through the Januarys and get through the Februarys. And if Jordan Bell can play like how he did in Phoenix, that's an added dimension. I mean, he was making layups, he was blocking shots, he was active. It was everything that they wanted him to be. If he can keep doing that, if Jonas can hit his threes, if they can keep with that game, then the Warriors can coast it and then maybe go on a run.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I like Jordan Bell's game and his potential, I hesitate to think that he can put this together on a consistent basis just because it hasn't happened yet. Like, I think he can do it, just hasn't seen it. I remember there was that one game, it was against Portland, not recently, but after Thanksgiving, where he had that vintage play of diving on the floor for loose ball and having together putting together one of those games that the Warriors won, and then all of a sudden, hey, Steve Kerr's not playing him again. But this all kind of, I think, ties together all these imperfect solutions to what Bob Myers, the Warriors GM, said a few days ago, where he made no bones about it. They want to keep that roster spot open, the 15th spot open, to try to get a center. That's one of the many reasons why they didn't match Patrick McCall's offer sheet from the Cleveland Cavaliers, that $6 million two-year deal that's not guaranteed. So many factors in play, but the main thing that he talked about is wanting to keep the roster spot open to get a center. I think the natural candidate has been the suspicion that Robin Lopez will get a buyout with the Chicago Bulls. Other than that, I mean, who else do you think could give them just the bare minimum of buying minutes and not screwing things up?
I mean, Robin Lopez, and then hopefully that guy by the name of DeMarcus Cousins can do great things. I mean, Robin Lopez would be a great fit for this team. You know, just with his game, he could pass the ball. He would be great in this offense. That would be a good opportunity. But if they can get Robin, that would be a sure bet. But we have to see what DeMarcus does too, as well, with it.
Yeah, and you know, with that, what I found interesting and revealing is with Steve Kerr's process, thought process. I mean, it's kind of obvious that because they don't know when DeMarcus is going to come back, that they need to have some kind of reinforcements. But Steve's, I think, message to the front office when he's talking to us is they need a center even when DeMarcus comes back, because to your point, they don't know when he's coming back. They don't know what they're going to get, what kind of version with DeMarcus. And then, you know, worst case scenario, he's out or whatever. Again, they're just back to square one with not having a true center. I would keep this date in mind for Warrior fans, January 5th. That's the first day that teams can sign players to 10-day contracts. This isn't a permanent solution. It's all under the guise of patchwork and maybe buying them time. But I'm wondering, and I think it would be a great idea if the Warriors start just taking flyers on maybe some of their G League players with Santa Cruz or elsewhere, of just getting a body that can just at least give them minutes to buy them time for matchup purposes and just overall depth purposes.
That would be good. I mean, I'm trying to figure out I don't know if there's a guy in the G League right now that could fill that void.
Maybe DeMarcus's brother, right?
Yeah, maybe DeMarcus's brother. Maybe that might work. That would be it'd be crazy because they look just alike. They're like carbon copy twins. But I don't see anybody that you could probably get right now that would fit in right now on the Warriors G League staff. It'll be interesting to see if they, you know, just take flyers on guys. But also, like, what if during the 10-day, Robin Lopez is just available? You just cut bait with the guy. But that'll be an interesting ploy. Like, I would love to see if that happens.
Yeah, I would too. And you know, just to look at the calendar here, we don't know if or when Robin Lopez will be bought out, or heaven forbid, any other centers. But typically what happens is that coincides with the NBA trade deadline. And the reasoning is obvious because, you know, either teams are in the playoff hunt or close to the playoff hunt, they need to make a final push. And then the teams that are negotiating buyouts, it's one of those things where they're probably a bad team and that player doesn't want to be there, and it's beneficial for both parties to part ways and negotiate something. That trade deadline is February 7th. So I think tying to the 10-day contracts, there might be that like month window where there's not a deal to be made, number one, and then B, DeMarcus is more likely not going to be back by early January. Well, definitely not, because it already is early January, as opposed to maybe early February. But it's just a fascinating thing, because when we're talking last year about it, it was, hey, they have too many centers. They have Zaza Pachulia. They have JaVale McGee. They have David West. They don't have enough wing depth to account for Andre Iguodala, you know, sitting out a few games, Patrick McCall's inconsistency, Nick Young's inconsistency. So it's just very ironic that, you know, I think that was a valid point, but here it's also a valid point. There's always that challenge of when you construct a team, like what's the perfect balance of how many positional players you have.
Yeah, I mean, they're learning that lesson. But honestly, it goes back to my point. They need to just have a good enough performances from their guys to get through the regular season, because I feel like during the we've shown that they can turn it on when their all stars are engaged. Just like in the playoffs, they were the number one ranked defense in the playoffs. So I think that they just need guys that'll coast through the season, but play good enough to where they can just have help. And the All-Stars can have help. And I think if they do that, like I said, I think they can go on a run.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, and Dieter often uses this phrase, the champagne problem. I mean, this is definitely a problem. It's valid and it's concerning, but at the end of the day, the Warriors do have four All-Stars with Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. Now, they haven't played a lot of games collectively this season because Steph missed 11 games with his groin injury. Draymond, as we've mentioned, missed 13 games with his right toe injury. I mean, there are a handful of games that Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala were out, so if you want to add it even more, there weren't a lot of games that core six players were together. But given where the team is at, I mean, to what extent do you think the fact that they have four All-Stars right now can just make this somewhat of a non-issue from just a win-loss component?
It can, but I mean, also as Dieter says, and I agree with him, they're top-heavy. They don't really want to, like, yes, you have four All-Stars and a fifth on the way. Jesus, an embarrassment of riches. But
29 other teams are saying that's not good for the league.
Yeah. But I do believe, like, this team is top heavy. It doesn't matter. They still need depth to, get through where they need to go. So, it depends. Also, these All-Stars have to play well. Klay Thompson hasn't played well this season, other than, a few games. But they do need their All-Stars to collectively play better when they do. Because when Draymond plays really good, when Klay plays really good, their depth is a non-issue. So they have to make it a non-issue if it's going forward. So
yeah, it's a good point. Now, when we're on the center spot and like assuming things kind of remain status quo in the short term, like DeMarcus Cousins might be progressing with more scrimmages, but there's no return date, and the Warriors don't make any kind of move, whether it's signing a guy to a 10-day or, getting a guy who's available on the buyout, maybe a trade. Like, let's just assume everything's status quo. Like, who do you think is most equipped out of, like, the so-called bigs to handle the fort? Like, Kevon Looney, Jordan Bell, Draymond, Jonas Strepko.
It's probably, long-term, health-wise, probably Kevon. I mean, other than Kevon has been the most consistent best big on front court man for the season because he's been able to be on the court. Draymond has been excellent on defense when he's been on the court, but he has been struggled with injuries all season. But it's Kevon. He's shown that he can be versatile. He played well in the second Portland game against Jokic. He played really well defensively. And he's shown that he can play multiple positions. So if he can keep going with that, I think that he remains as a guy that is consistently good on the center position.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think defensively, I mean, he's going to be undersized, but he's always seen as their most dependable defensive player. Really good on switches, knows his personnel. I think that success he's got down defensively, I'm skeptical on his offensive game, and it sounds weird because the Warriors should be able to do this, but it's going to hinge on their All-Stars making the shots that they need to make. Because I don't think – maybe Kevon made a 3-1 game, but I don't see the idea of him suddenly becoming a dependable mid-range shooter and being able to space the floor will happen unless those guys score as they're supposed to.
I do have a question, and you were in, and I think it was one. I think Bob spoke in Phoenix.
Yeah, Bob spoke with a few of the guys on a conference call.
Okay, yeah. So, I think this ties into the front court thing. What do you think about this youth movement? And do you think that if Bob could have done it over, he might have had maybe an extra veteran big this season? I mean, I know he has DeMarcus, but do you think he could have because it. From a depth issue, it doesn't seem like it's worked out this far.
Yeah, I mean, the youth movement has so many components, not just with the bigs, but the other guys. But since we're talking about center specifically, I think if he knew that Damian Jones was going to be hurt for the rest of the season, yeah, there would have been more reinforcements. But I think the thought going into the year, and, I think it's still the right decision, like, David West was a very dependable playmaker. Now, it was his decision to retire, but even if he wanted to give it another go, maybe they would have still signed him just to make good on him and have a locker room presence. But I don't know how dependable he actually would have been on the court. Like, maybe he doesn't make some mistakes and he can lead the offense. But I think the point we made earlier on the podcast is as effective as he was last year during the playoffs, he had some injury situations. some bad matchups, but I at least saw maybe some early signals that, hey, he ran his course. He squeezed everything he could out of that. And then I think with Zaza and JaVale, I think because of the injuries that Steph and Draymond had, yes, they would have been valuable in having veteran guys that can do things without screwing things up, but I don't see them getting better. I don't necessarily see them getting worse. They are what they are, but just adding another year to a veteran, you would think it's going to regress because there's more health that they have to worry about. So I think that Bob made the right decision in paving the way for carving roles for Damian Jones and Jordan Bell and Kevon Looney, because those guys, it's all upside. And I think that they, not that this was the scenario that they wanted, but I think that they needed to know what they're getting in a full body of work. Like, they had a decision they had to make with Damian Jones, whether they're guaranteeing his contract or not. And then they, I think, you know, for better and for worse, and we'll see how it plays out the rest of the season, but Kevon Looney and Jordan Bell are going to be free agents next summer. You know, Kevon's unrestricted, so a little bit of that is out of their control because maybe he'll get some outside interest. Jordan Bell is restricted, so they can match his offer. But I think without having the opportunity to give them roles, whether they flourish in them or they don't at all, like, there is that unknown of, okay, to what extent should they be devoted to them after this season?
Well, and also another question, I agree with you on that, but I think another question is, how hard do you think it is for younger guys to develop in such a high pressure championship situation? Because I mean, some of the things that I've seen, it seems like it's hard to do that because every single mistake is monumental when you're going for a third straight title and you're a young guy. How do you think that has played, you know, through this regular season?
Well, it cuts both ways, but I think that, you know, my experience covering the rebuilding Lakers, yes, there might be definitive roles and there's minutes to be played, but I think in some extent there actually is more scrutiny on those players because they're the ones that are more directly responsible for wins and losses, and they don't have a guy that they can lean on. You know, in the Lakers situation, it was Kobe, and he's one of the best players ever, but it was a much diminished version of Kobe, and a lot, with exception of his final year, like, he, for all intents and purposes, he didn't really play, you know, that much. He played six games in 2013-14. More of the youth movement was the following year, but he played 35 games, and then they shut him down, you know, January. So it was a youth movement. So I think in some respects it's easier because you're getting consistent playing time, but you're also given the responsibility of producing, and it's on you to be answerable to that. Now, tying into the Warriors, I think that coming into this season, they were thinking that they were avoiding the scenario of putting too much responsibility on them because they have four All-Stars. They have DeMarcus coming back at some point. So specifically when we're talking about the center position, it was going to be by committee with Damian Jones, Kevon Looney, Jordan Bell for matchup purposes, just seeing who's doing well. But I think it wasn't going to fall on them to win them games. I think where not only the youth movement, but specifically the center spot kind of backfired was Steph and Draymond getting hurt, because now the game is more difficult for them, as I mentioned, with Damian not having the floor spacing that Steph could have provided for him. But to your point, you know, they're suddenly asked to do things that maybe they weren't prepared for, and it's nothing against them. They just haven't had that experience.
I think so. I mean, I agree. It just seems like a fact of, like, you know, every time someone does something here, it's monumental. It's for better or for worse. Every game, everyone gets up for a game, and I just feel like, you know, with the young guys, I think it cuts both ways, right? Like, it's hard to develop in a championship atmosphere, but also you got to produce, man, and there's things that you have to do, but it's been an intriguing thing to watch this season.
Yeah, and I think the good thing, and it's also a bad thing, you have a championship, like, culture around you. So you have All-Stars, you have vets in your ear telling you good things, good habits that you need to do. But also, I think it exposes players' mentalities of how true do you actually stay to being ready. Like, it's easy. I don't want to say it's easy, but it's one thing to have to be ready when you know you're going to be playing X amount of minutes and it's on you. And that requires a certain amount of discipline so you're not exposed. But on the other hand, you have to psychologically be ready even if you're not playing, because suddenly Kevon Looney's in foul trouble. Steve Kerr's going to go to Jordan Bell. Like, if you're not ready at that point, that's only going to give Steve Kerr even less reason to trust. So I think that's the challenge of, you know, showing that you're doing all the things regardless of what your role is. And given that you're on a good team and your leash is already short, you don't want to give that head coach a reason to even have a shorter leash. Because at the end of the day, like, if it were up to Steve, he would love to be playing all these young guys. Like, they can inject energy. He can rest their all-stars. But in his mind, he wants to win games. Like, that's what a head coach is for. So if he doesn't trust one of those bigs, he's not going to play him. And it's not his – it's not what he wanted to do opening the season to play Draymond and Jarepko. But he's shifted that because of Damian being out. But also, he just hasn't had that consistent trust level with – Jordan overall, and then Kevon just knowing what his limitations are. He might trust him enough to fulfill a very specific role, but not trust him enough to provide everything that you would need in a game.
Are you saying Kevon Looney's not going to carry the offense?
No, I think Steph will, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely. And but I'm curious to see how they go forward. I mean, especially with these next few games, man. It's going to be very telling when. The next couple of weeks. So, you know, we'll see how these young guys respond. And it's still a long season left.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a dire situation at the center spot, but there might be some, you know, good news ahead. You know, the Warriors, I think, to your point, aren't saying DeMarcus Cousins is going to be the savior, because there's going to be a whole element of question marks there. But I think because of his talent, the fact that this could keep them engaged, that could solve some of these issues. And you're looking at the calendar here. We're in 2019 now, Logan. It's hard to say that. But, you know, there's going to be a good amount of practice times with just not too many games, you know, next week, where maybe that allows him to get some conditioning work. They're going to have a little bit of a trip and some back-to-backs that prevent them from having some practices. But then, for better and for worse, they're going to be in L.A. for 5 days, and that's going to be a lot of practice time. And maybe, you know, sometime around that point, maybe DeMarcus comes back at some point in the road trip or when they come back, you know, against Philly at the end of the month. But we'll see.
A lot of play time in L.A., too, for beat writers and for players.
Yes. Fortunately, I don't have an Achilles to worry about.
Yeah. Well, man, shout out to Manhattan Beach. So you got somebody coming back to go see.
There you go. Well, shout out to the Warriors HQ podcast. We're up and running, what, Logan, on iTunes and like every single
Spotify. We're on Spotify, too. I checked that out.
So download Logan's playlist. Download the Warriors HQ podcast on Spotify. And wait, there's like Google Play. There's iTunes. There's Stitcher. I feel like there's something else.
We're all over. We're all over. I know we're on iTunes, Spotify. We might be on SoundCloud. You know, we're everywhere you can imagine right now. You know what I mean? All because Medina's big time. That's all. All because Medina's big time.
Well, Logan, you're helping the brand too. So tell everyone where they can follow you on Twitter and all that good stuff.
The brand is strong. You can find me on Logan M. Murdoch on Twitter, and you can find Mark Medina. He has all the followers on MarkG_Medina.
Yes, sir. Medina Syracuse Instagram. What's your IG? It's Logan Murdoch, right? Or am I off on that?
Same thing. Logan M. Murdoch on Instagram as well. Follow me. I got some music in my story. You guys can just check it out. A lot of hot takes. A tiny bit of Nas in Instagram.
Maybe you'll learn one of these days. But you know, as far as Warriors, we got all that locked down on the podcast, on Twitter, Instagram, but also go to the Mercury News website. I think there's still a deal going on post-holiday shopping if you want. If you go to the East Bay Times Mercury News website, $40 a year for a subscription, you'll get a free Warriors Championship commemorative book. If you sign for the Warriors HQ newsletter, you'll get that in your inbox every day. see all the latest going on with the Dubs. But for now, thanks for listening.